destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. Here we are every week on Monday nights, talking about spiritual subjects, subjects in the news, but mostly talking about you and your destiny, especially starting at 7:30 when the phone lines open up, and anyone can call in and ask questions. I'm here in service to provide service using the science of the cards, a very ancient knowledge that's been kept secret for thousands of years. Really, it's been known for over 100 years, but not commonly known. And even today, most people haven't heard of it. So it's been my goal for the past 20 years and continues to be my goal to spread the knowledge of this wonderful system and to make it available to people to use. It has brought a lot of happiness, a lot of self-understanding, a lot of peace of mind, and a lot of wisdom and insight to thousands of people so far, and it continues to do so, anyone who chooses to use it. So welcome to the show. This is a show for you. I'm here to do what I can to help. I have a topic every night at the beginning of the show, some announcements, and then after the topic at around 7:30, we open up the phone lines, and you're welcome to call in and ask me a question about anything going on in your life. If you have a relationship question, make sure you give me both birthdays, yours and the other person's birthday. So just for announcements, those of you who've signed up to the Love Cards dating website, I have a new website, a partner and I named Jenny. She's very excited. She's a four of hearts. We have created Love Cards Dating, lovecardsdating.com. And you'll be able to find matches based on the cards, which will be amazing to you. And I've developed a whole new set of criteria the system hasn't changed, but I developed new indexes. Most of you know who have my books, the Love Cards book, there's an index, attraction, intensity, and compatibility. Well, on the new site, there's actually six indexes, some new indexes. And a refinement of the indexes. There's even one for finances. So if you were looking for, let's say, the best person for a business relationship, you'd be able to find that on Love Cards Dating as well. So you can find friendship, you can find love, or you can find business on the website, even though it's called Love Cards Dating. And it's going to be great. We already have 600 people signed up. We're going to go live this Thursday night, the 11th of September. Now, that's most people think that's a bad day because of what happened in the U.S. A while back on September 11th. But actually, it's a good day. It's a King of Clubs day, and it's a King of Clubs Jack of Diamonds day. It's actually a really good day, and this particular year, it's a very good day to launch a business or a new relationship, something along these lines. So that's when we're going to officially launch, and we're definitely doing it. We have people beta testing the site right now. All of those of you who have already signed up, and you can just go to lovecardsdating.com, and there's a sign-up form there where you can put in your name and your email address, and then we're going to send you an email when the time comes, which will be Thursday. And we'll be sending an email out to have all the instructions on how to get on to the website with a one-month free membership. And so you'll have so much fun. You'll get a chance to use it and test it out and see how it works. And I'm sure that a lot of people are going to hook up, and I certainly am looking forward to seeing that happen. So that's my biggest announcement tonight, because it's happening this week. I've been talking about it for months, and now we get a chance to finally have it show up. Today happens to be September the 8th. today is a Three of Diamonds, Ace of Spades day, which is a very spiritual day today. First of all, the Ace of Spades is the card in the whole deck that represents this system. So people born today are a Three of Diamonds birth card, and they're an Ace of Spades planetary ruling card. Now, this is not an easy card to be on the mundane sense. It's not one of those cards that's considered to be the most fortunate, you know. It's considered to be a birthday that has a lot of personal challenges associated with it. Three of Diamonds is considered one of the two most difficult cards in the deck to be because there's a karma there with the Three of Diamonds. There's a karma with uncertainty in love and uncertainty in values and uncertainty in money and worry about money. And even if you have a very successful Three of Diamonds person, if you get to know them, you'll find out that they have fears about money. Even the most successful, like David Arquette was born today, and Sid Caesar, Patsy Cline, Verna Lisi, Peter Sellers, Latrell Sproul, basketball player, actor Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So all these people are born today, and you won't know that they have fears about money unless you got to know them a little bit. Ace of Spades, likewise, it's the most spiritual card in the whole deck. It's the card that represents this entire system. It's the card that's the symbol for the Order of the Magi, the group who kept the science of the cards alive for centuries and kept it secret for a long time because it had to be secret. People that knew this would have been killed during the Dark Ages for having this information or for mentioning it to somebody else. So people born today are very spiritual. In other words, they have an innate understanding of spiritual law and principles. And that's the solution for Three of Diamonds people. That's their way. That's the path for them that brings them happiness in life. If you meet a really happy Three of Diamonds person, it's most likely because they're on a spiritual path and they're practicing it. Because in a mundane sense, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be successful usually. For the most part. Now, of course, there's a lot of famous Three of Diamonds people. Donald Trump's a Three of Diamonds. He's not a Virgo Three of Diamonds. He's not born today, but he's a very successful Three of Diamonds. And there are some out there. They've risen to the higher side of their card. But in general, Three of Diamonds is a challenging card to be, especially in the area of love and money, which are the two biggest areas that people ask about. You'll notice tonight, when the calls come in, if you're listening, you'll notice that most of the calls will be about love or about money, business stuff. So that's today. Tonight's topic is about our attention. You know, we don't really realize. Very few people really understand the power that's resting within them in the area of their attention. I mean, advertisers, which are huge, that are working for huge companies, billion-dollar companies, are paying billions of dollars for just seconds of the public's attention. If they can get on a national television show like the Super Bowl or the Oscars or something like this, some big news event where there's a huge news thing that happened, if they can be an advertiser on this news thing, they will pay millions and millions and millions of dollars because that's the power of our attention. If they can get our attention for a few minutes and if they can get just the right message to our brain and get us hooked on the idea that their product or their service will enhance our sense of who we are, then they're going to make millions, they're going to make 10 times the amount they spend on those commercials through our purchases. And they know this. And that's just a very mundane sense for the power of our attention. That's just in a very mundane sense. I mean, I remember, you know, thinking as I was driving down the highway a couple of times, I think, look at all these billboards. It's hard not to look at them, you know. They're on the side of the road. It's hard to kind of ignore them and just kind of stay focused on the road. I mean, if you have any kind of curiosity at all, these billboards will grab your attention. And I thought, wow, this is terrible. I mean, I want to take a drive in the country. I don't want to see all this advertisement. And if you look now, you'll find advertisements showing up everywhere. It's everywhere. It's prolific. I mean, it's just everywhere you look. T-shirts. You can't even buy clothing anymore without advertising on it. It's hard to buy just a plain shirt with no advertising on it. I think it's ridiculous. I remember I go down to the mall. I'm looking for a cotton sweatshirt. First of all, that's hard to find anymore. All cotton sweatshirts. Everything's polyester. And then the only ones they have are the ones with big logos on them all over the front and back. I'm like, they should pay me to wear this sweatshirt. I'm advertising for them. That T-shirt should be free. That sweatshirt should be free. But I don't really want to. I don't want to advertise. I just want to have a sweatshirt. I don't want to say, I don't want to have a message on it. I just want to have a nice shirt. Getting hard to find, though, these days. The power of money. But beyond that, that mundane thing, our attention is vital. It is vital for our own well-being. The attention that we have and where we're placing it. Eckhart Tolle calls it being present, our presence, being in the moment. You have no idea how powerful it is to bring your attention into what's happening right now. Now, this happens automatically to everybody when there's an emergency situation, like if your car all of a sudden is careening out of control on the highway, your mind will stop and your attention will become, I shouldn't say everybody, but I'd say probably 99% of everybody, their attention will go completely into that moment. And you'll hear stories from people saying, you know, I was sitting there watching this accident take place and it was happening so slowly. It was like it was in slow motion. And I knew what was going to happen, and I wasn't afraid. I was just being in that moment. You'll hear stories upon stories from people who were in life-threatening situations that happened really quickly, and how they responded and what happened. Well, what happened was their attention was drawn completely into the moment because their life was at stake. And in that moment, they lost all their fear, and they became the witness of what was happening. And a lot of them lived to talk about it. A lot of them lived. I remember once I used to fly. I have a private pilot's license, and I used to fly airplanes. And I loved it. I flew everywhere. Once I got my license, I had a little airplane. And, you know, if I had an excuse to fly somewhere, I would do it because I just wanted to do it. I just loved it. It was just so cool. And one day I had flown all the way down to, I had flown about 500 miles or 600 miles down to Florida to see my dad. And my sister went with me and I was coming home and I dropped her off in Georgia where she lives. And I continued on to where I was living in North Carolina. And it was a short flight. It was only about a 35-minute flight from her airport to my airport. And I got about halfway there and my engine stopped working on me. And it wasn't pitch dark, but it was already getting dark. It was getting very dark. I was about 4,000 feet above the ground in my airplane and the engine stopped all of a sudden. And, you know, I'd been trained for this because I'd had engines go out on me earlier in my ultralight days of flying. Those engines are a little bit less reliable than airplane engines, and so we always practice what you're going to do. And the thing about ultralights is there's always a field somewhere close by where you can just land the airplane, so it wasn't a big deal. But when you have a bigger airplane, it's a much bigger problem, especially at night. And most people whose engines go out at night, or even in the daytime, their engines go out in a regular airplane, most of those people don't live to tell about it. So my engine went out, and I did what I had to do. I put the nose of the aircraft down so I would maintain my airspeed, and I started looking for a place to land. It was very dark, and I was thinking, is this going to be, a thought crossed my mind at one point, is this how I'm going to die? And I was just, you know, but I watched as I got into the moment there with that, and I just became very intent. I decided that I was going to land that airplane. Somehow I was going to land that airplane. And I looked down and it was dark. I couldn't even see I couldn't hardly make out roads. And there were some country roads down below me. And I saw car lights going on some of them here and there. So I thought, well, okay, those are roads. So I lined myself up with a road and I developed a plan of what I was going to do. And basically I had to run parallel along this road until my altitude was just right, because you only get one try at this. And my altitude had to be just right so that I could just make a U-turn and come back on this road, because it wasn't long enough for me to go all the way down to the end of it and then land straight on. I had to go down, make a U-turn, and then double back on that road. And I did that. And I didn't know if there were wires crossing that road, because there usually are. There's wires, telephone poles going across it. It was a kind of a rural road. It wasn't in a neighborhood, thankfully. But, you know, there was a lot of unknowns. And miraculously, I was able to land that airplane, and the only thing that happened was I did cross over a wire that was going across the road on a telephone pole, and it just grazed over my wheel. It didn't snag. It just grazed and scratched the cover on my wheel slightly. And I noticed that after the fact. It was a miracle that I survived that. It's something that just... Now, if I hadn't have been into the moment, that never would have happened. If my attention hadn't been drawn into the now, it never would have happened. I would not have survived that. It was an absolute miracle that everything turned out the way it did. I mean, all the decisions I made, who knows why I made them in that moment. But I did. And this is the power that we have. This is just one example. But it can happen in other ways, too. Relationships, for example, is one of the hardest things for us to be present in, because we immediately go into what Eckhart Tolle calls our pain body. When things come up in a relationship, we get activated by our partner. They'll say something or do something. We feel unloved, or we feel disrespected, or we feel something negative. We make up that, you know, they don't love us, or that they don't respect us, they don't care about us. And, you know, relationship is the hardest thing. It is the number one hardest area. And so, for that reason, it's the best area to have growth, to have spiritual growth. In other words, a transformation for anybody in the area of relationship is one that could change your entire life. It has the power to do that because it brings up things so much. I mean, people who get in their pain bodies in relationships who get activated and really get convinced that their partner is bad and trying to hurt them or this or that, these people will do the most terrible things. I mean, there was just yesterday in our newspaper here in Contra Costa County in California, in one of our neighboring towns, there was a triple homicide. A man was coming to kill his ex-wife over some dispute. You know, this is what I mean, exes. He ended up killing her cousin, ended up killing a cop, and then the cops ended up killing him. And, you know, people who are in divorces, they will go all out to kill each other. So you can see that the power of relationship is one in where there's the most challenge for most of us, the most challenge for us to be conscious and to come into the present. I mean, how hard is it to be present when you're being activated and when you think you're right? You think you're right about it. You think your partner's wrong. They did something wrong. You're right, and you want to tell them. How hard is it to not react like that? Well, you know, I've always had somewhat fiery relationships. I have Moon and Aries in my chart and Squares my Mars. It was my childhood. And so this has been a theme for me, is to have relationships where there can be verbal arguing and so forth. So last night, yesterday, my wife and I were not having a good day. She was unhappy with me about some things I did, and I knew it, and I get insecure when she's unhappy. But I just didn't react to it. I just kind of like went about my day. And then in the evening, she came in to talk to me, and I could see that she was still activated, and I could see that I could easily get activated, and it could easily turn into an argument with her. And which I always did in the past, and always did. I would always contradict something she says, whatever she's saying to me, and I would just fight about it with her. And of course, that doesn't do any good. We'd have to sleep in separate bedrooms for a night or two, la-di-da-di-da, because we're not happy with each other. And both feeling right about it. That's the characteristic of this kind of thing, is that both people feel right, and the other person's wrong. And then we all try to prove it with evidence and supporting characters and testimonials and everything. But instead, last night I decided, you know, I just remembered some of the words of Eckhart Tolle, and I decided just to be present. And I decided just to sit there and watch. And I was watching her and listening to her intently, looking at her face, and I was listening to myself, too. I was feeling my emotional reactions to her, but I wasn't giving into them. I wasn't letting those take me over. I was just feeling them. I was just being an observer of the whole thing. I was observing me. I was observing her. I was observing my reactions to her. I was feeling what she was feeling, and I could see how much pain she was going through about the whole situation. But I didn't react. I didn't try to fix it. I didn't try to fix her. I didn't try to prove that she was wrong or that I was right or anything. I just sat there and was present with her. And I noticed after about 3 or 4 minutes, her demeanor began to change. And a minute or so later, she started saying different things. She was no longer, in other words, she came out of her pain body and was present again because I was present with her. And we ended up going to bed and being very loving to each other shortly after that. It's like the love returned. And I saw that in that moment of being present, love is there. It is love. You can't just go out and love somebody. I mean, you can. You can say, I'm going to go do a loving act. I'm going to give somebody something. But it's different. When we're present, when we're in the present moment, we are love embodied. You cannot be unloving and be in the present. If your attention is on the now, on what's really happening right now, in a non-judgmental way, and a non-reactive way, too. It's a non-reactive way. Because the reaction is all the mind and the ego trying to prove that it's, you know, it's okay. It's feeling threatened. Our ego is feeling like, you know, somebody threatened me. There's, you know, I have to defend myself. All that stuff just perpetuates the problem. But if we can be in the moment right now, love is there, and it's transformative to the very maximum degree. You can't even imagine. I mean, you might have heard stories if you listen to Eckhart Tolle, read his books. But even that, hearing those stories doesn't convey it until you have that direct experience of it. The power of your attention, being in the moment. And I discovered that everything good, everything that we ever wanted from life, every good quality, every good experience that we want in life is already here in the now. But we're not paying attention to it. We just would rather be in our heads. It's an addiction, you know. You think about it, we're addicted to thinking. That's just the way we are. We're built that way. It's part of being a human. It's embedded in our race consciousness, at least to this point it is. It's very difficult to change that pattern. It's very difficult to release this pattern of mental addiction. And, you know, it might happen to you instantly like it happens to some spiritual masters. Eckhart Tolle, it happened instantly after he went through a long period of suffering and real unhappiness, and then all of a sudden he broke open. It might happen like it did to me once when I took LSD when I was 19 years old through that sort of a breakthrough. But for most people, it happens gradually. It's something that you develop a gradual awareness of. And as you do, as we do, we become less and less attached to the mental dialogue. There's less to defend. You know, if I'm feeling threatened, I'm feeling threatened. So what I've learned in my own life is that when I'm feeling threatened by something, and it's usually a relationship, it's usually a person, it can be a situation, too. It can be like something that happened, like I could feel afraid because I got a large, bill in the mail or something like that. It can stimulate fear. But whenever I feel threatened, I know that where my attention needs to be right now is on my feeling of being threatened. So I be with that. I be present to that. And this power of our attention, it is like a laser of love. It cuts through and brings love and brings healing where it's most needed. It is love. So our attention is an energy that is the same as love. It is love. It's just we use a different word for it. It all comes from the same place. So this is the practice that I think is really the only thing there is left to practice, really, in a spiritual sense. You can have all kinds of paths. There's all kinds of ways to get there. There's all even religions, and there's different paths like yoga and meditation and Buddhism and this and that. But really, it all comes down to whatever is going to help us get into the moment. Whatever is going to help us bring our attention to what is present right now. I mean, how much are we being present to what's happening? Right now I'm sitting here, actually standing here in my office where I live, and there's this beautiful breeze coming through the window. It's gotten cooler now, and I'm so grateful because it was just unbearably hot here for a couple weeks in California. It was like 105, 106 a few days. Now in the evenings and the mornings, it's only 60 degrees here. So right about now, the cool breeze comes through the window, and it just feels so wonderful after a day of relative heat. And I'm enjoying that. But how often do we stop to enjoy? How often do we walk outside and look up in the sky and see all the stars and kind of marvel at the moon and the other stars and planets that we see up in the heavens? How often do we sit down and appreciate some of the beauty that surrounds us, natural beauty as well as man-made beauty that we have? How often do we sit down and just take stock of all the things that we have in our life, just the physical material possessions? I look around my house, it's like it's just absolutely stocked full of stuff that's really beautiful and nice that I like. I could probably spend hours just going around my house and just acknowledging each thing that I have, that I, you know, you might say I own it. I don't know if that concept's really real. I mean, you know, I have my phone, I have my desk, my bed, TV. Do I really own these? I don't know, but they're here, and I'm appreciating them. I could spend hours just going around and being present to each one of these things, bringing my attention to it and saying, thank you, that's great. I'm so happy I have you in my life, or this object to here to help me. How often do we appreciate the marvels of electronic marvels that we live in today? Cell phones. I mean, it's kind of funny, you know, I watch movies sometimes and they were, you know, maybe 15 years ago, and the character is in a bad situation. I'm thinking, well, use your cell phone. And I remember, oh, they didn't have cell phones back then. No, not everybody had a phone stuck on their hip back then. They can't use a cell phone. And we forget, it wasn't that long ago we didn't have cell phones, and what a major convenience that is, what a major gift that is to us to have that. So anything that will draw our attention into now, into what's happening now, whatever that is, whether it's listening to your partner and being present to them, or listening to your own feelings when you feel activated or feel upset about something, instead of going into the whole mental thing. See, usually when we feel activated, we go into justification, blaming, scheming, planning to get other people back, justifying to ourselves why we're okay even though this happened to us. It just goes on and on and on. That's what we do. But we have a choice. We don't have to do that. If we can catch ourselves doing that, we can say, oh, there I am doing that. And then you have a choice. We have a choice in the matter at that point. A choice to come back into the present moment. One of the most profound things that I've heard Eckhart Tolle say is that there are no problems. Problems cannot exist at all in the present moment. Very interesting statement. Problems cannot exist. They do not exist at all in the present moment. You cannot be present and have a problem. You can only have a problem if you're stuck in the future or the past. And usually it's the future. Most problems are always about what's going to happen to me later. Not now, but later. Because something that's happening right now is not a problem. It just is. And he gives examples of people in prison and so forth. You know, we could say less than desirable life situations or circumstances. But the fact of the matter is, even a person in prison can sit there and say, you know, life is good. I've got four walls, I've got meals, I've got clothing. You know, it's like that. So the question is whether you would like to be enlightened or not and have an abundant life. There is a magic in being in the now that no one can really tell you. They can suggest what it is. But when you experience it, you'll know beyond all doubt. How everything, the way I put it is, from my experience, my few experiences of, you might call it Satori, of brief moments in the now, is that everything I ever wanted is here. It is here now, if I'm present to, if my attention is here, that's what I can experience. I can let go of my compulsive thinking. And it's interesting, you know, men are the ones that are more attached to their minds. That's our big challenge. That's what keeps us out of the present moment, where women, it's a generalization, by the way, it doesn't apply to every single person, but women are more, what keeps them out of the present more is their pain body, which is associated with the past more. Past pain, suffering, mistreatment by other people, mostly men, things like that. Okay? So the power of your attention, don't waste it. Use it. Use it to benefit yourself. Use it to benefit your life. Use it to have a more amazing life. No matter who you are, no matter what situation you find yourself in, if you can come into the present moment right now, you can have a miraculous transformation and be living a whole different life instantly. If you can just let go of all this compulsive thinking and come into the present moment with whatever's happening. So that's my little discussion about your attention and our attention. I hope you enjoyed that. We're going to take a break now. It's our break time. We're going to listen to a song from my CD. It's called Bhakti Rock, the CD, and there's a lot of great tunes on it. The one I'd like to hear right now is Sri Ram. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your call. So the lines are open. If you're thinking of calling in tonight, now will be the time. We'll be right back after Sri Ram, and we'll be taking your calls. Be right back. Hare Rama. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. That was Sri Ram off my CD, Bhakti Rock. I hope you enjoyed that. We have two lines open, and we have Martha from Oakland on line two. Are you there, Martha?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Hi, I couldn't hear you there at first. Go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Oh, I just wanted to know if this is a good time for me to sell my house and a good time to buy a house, because that's what I'm kind of thinking of doing.
That's your plan for this year, or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to sell your home and buy another home, is that it?
Right.
Well, you have very good influences for that, actually. You have, in October and November, you have, that's your Venus period of the year, you have a four of spades and a four of clubs. Well, four of spades is really a card of happiness in the home. Okay?
Okay.
So, I mean, that usually would mean, with your situation, that would generally mean that you've found a new place that you really like.
Oh, great.
You know, so I would say, yeah. I mean, is there anything holding you back from doing it right now? Is there any concerns or something?
I was just kind of concerned because, you know, my house has lost value, you know, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
I didn't know if I should wait or go ahead
for that,
with it.
Oh, because to wait till the value goes up more, you mean?
Yeah, but I don't know, you know, that it's worth it to do that. So that's what
I mean, they're predicting it's going to be another few years before that turns around. I don't know, you know, I can't say exactly when, but people that I know, they're in the real estate business say it's still going to be a couple of years before for the market here turns around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're in my area, and we're looking at homes for sale right now ourselves. Been looking to buy a house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to move from your Concord house?
Yeah, we don't own this house. I own a house in North Carolina, but we never bought one here because the market changed so dramatically.
Oh.
So, you know, but you got very good cards. I don't see any problem.
Okay, great.
I mean, I would go for it and see, to see what happens, because the influences are so good right now for you.
Okay. Is there anything else I should be looking for, you know, that in my cards to just say, you know?
Well, tell me a little bit about your situation. Are you married, single? What's going on?
I'm single. And
okay.
I'm looking to move because... For a couple of reasons, because I want to get into a new home, a little bigger home, and I want to be closer to my mother because she's in assisted living, so that's why I'm thinking about moving.
Okay. Well, there's, I don't see any problem with that. There is a, you have probably a love interest showing up in your life in December, January.
Well, that's shocking.
Unless you're completely against the idea.
No, I'm not really looking for anything, but, you know,
well,
that might be okay.
Isn't that when things usually happen, when we're not really looking?
I guess so.
Yeah, frequently that's how it all turns out. We're not looking, and we seem to be disinterested, and God says, well, I got other plans for you. That kind of thing. So, yeah, you have a really strong cards for having a love affair.
Okay.
That would start in your Mars period. Your Mars period begins on December the 1st, and it goes until January the 23rd.
Okay. Do you see anything in there about me traveling at all, like getting to travel?
It's not highlighted this particular year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean there's some slight influences here, but nothing major.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like that kind of year for you.
Yeah.
I know you probably enjoy travel.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when, like next year, there's a lot more. You have a lot of travel stuff after your next birthday.
That's good.
This particular year, though, it doesn't look to be a whole lot. That doesn't mean you can't travel. It's just not mentioned here in the cards that much.
Mm-hmm.
I
didn't see it coming up this year, but I just thought, you know, that's what I was hoping for, maybe next year.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like your attention is going to be in other things this year, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Other areas. So when the time comes, you'll get the opportunity to travel, too, though, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much.
And have you heard about the new dating website, Martha?
No.
Lovecardsdating.com.
Oh, okay.
We've developed an entirely new technology for people to use for online dating, where we find compatible people for you based on the cards on your birthday.
Mm.
It's going to be wonderful, and it's a free one-month membership, and starts this Thursday. Just go to lovecardsdating.com. You can sign up there.
Okay.
And get a free month membership if you want to try it out. Maybe that's how you'll meet this guy I see showing up.
Maybe.
Could be. You never know. Okay, Martha?
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, great talking to you. Have a nice
evening. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have another caller. I guess her name is Deborah. Are you there, Deborah?
I'm here.
Hello, is Deborah there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello? I don't hear her, Seth. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Is this Deborah?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
And Deborah, your birthday is November 13th, 1953?
That's right.
Okay, good. So what can I do for you this evening? It's funny, you and the last caller were both the same card.
Oh, really?
Yeah, both 7 o'clock. But she was a Leo, and you're a Scorpio. So
yes. Yeah. Looking at going back to school, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Okay.
I'm working full-time now, but it would be involved a career change and looking more.
How soon would this happen,
designing.
By the way? If this happened, if this did happen for you, how soon would it happen?
Well, it could be.
Like, would it be before your birthday or after your birthday?
I doubt if I could arrange this before my birthday.
Okay.
So possibly January. Unless it looks as if it would be better to start before.
Well, what you have right now is you have the influence of wanting to have this new education. Every year we have what's called the Hopes and Fears card.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hopes and Fears card is also called the Neptune card. And your Hopes and Fears card is the card of education this year. But it's not a guarantee that it's actually going to happen. It just shows that you're thinking about it a lot and you want it to happen. But you're not quite sure either. Do you follow me?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, there's an element of uncertainty there associated with the hopes and fears card. So it's definitely not, I shouldn't say use the word definitely. It's not a definite thing by any means. But there's a possibility there. Now, I would look into your next year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at your next year, you have good influences for it. I don't see anything that could stop you really from doing it if you really want to do it. Because one of the influences you have next year shows you kind of like having to live two lives at the same time, which would really fit if you were going back to school.
Yes, it would.
Yeah, you'd be like trying to do this and trying to do that and trying to pull it off at the same exact time. And that's what you have, so it's a very, pretty strong indication that that's what you'll be doing.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, my whole approach is really like, if it's something that you know you love and want to do, well, why wouldn't you do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. Things will always take care of themselves once we're doing the thing that we really love to do. So are you married or single?
Single.
And are you open to having a relationship come into your life?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you have cards for that too coming up.
Ah.
Well, you and the last woman are the same age and the same card.
Wow.
What are the chances of that? So you might want to try the love card dating site, too. You never know what's going to show up.
Okay.
Could be something good.
Great.
So just, you know, to put a little bug in your ear. Otherwise, I think things are fine. If I were you, don't make any big decisions if you wait until September 22nd. You can do it either before then or after your birthday, but not between September 22nd and your birthday, because that's the Neptune period, and we tend to not see things clearly at that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So try to make any important decisions before or after that time.
All right.
Okay?
Great. Thank you
so
much.
All right, Deborah. Thanks for being my guest.
Bye-bye, Robert.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, and now we have another caller. We have two lines open now. I guess line 2 and 4. I'm not sure, I think. But we have Jeannie from San Francisco who's calling about a relationship thing. Are you there, Jeannie?
Hello.
Hi, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm doing great. When you say my CD, is that you singing on it, by the way?
That's me doing everything.
Everything, the music, everything,
all the music,
huh?
Everything, yeah.
Groovy.
Yeah, it's a one-man operation.
It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I like sitar-type music.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I really love. And I've meant to do that album for ages, and I finally did it. And I'm very happy
good
about it.
Good for you. Good for you.
So you're born February 12th, 1948, is that true?
That's it.
And you have a love interest who is September 1st, is that correct?
46, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so tell me a little bit of...
It already happened and it's over, and I'm wondering what I was supposed to learn, what we were supposed to learn.
You're wondering what happened.
Yeah.
How long did it last?
Too long.
How long would that be?
8 years. 8 years.
Eight years. Yes. Okay. That's a long time. I was just kind of curious how long that would be for you. What you guys in the card system, you can tell why people are. Often you can tell why they're drawn to each other, why they're attracted to each other.
Right.
Because of the connection that they have between them.
Mm-hmm.
And what you guys have is a whole lot of Mars energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mars is passion, and it's also competition. You follow me? Mm-hmm. And so, there, first of all, you guys were drawn together because you had had a past life before where you were really attracted to each other, but you weren't able to complete that. You weren't able to get together for whatever reason. You weren't able mm-hmm. to consummate in that lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So when you met in this lifetime, there was a really strong attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was like magnets.
Okay. Yeah, it really was. It was that glance across the room thing.
Yeah, and it's because, see, you guys had, you had had this experience, and it's an unconscious thing. You know, you felt it really strongly. It's unconscious. It's strong, and it's unconscious. And you had to be together for that reason. But the fact of the matter is, you guys have other Mars connections between you. So that this relationship was probably going to be really difficult to have it sustain itself because there was a little too much Mars. In other words, there's too much aggression that happens. And both of you are very strong, by the way, and used
mm-hmm.
to getting your way. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Both of you are very strong individuals used to getting your way, and I'm sure that caused a problem at some point. I just know it did.
It did.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that, I should say this because, no, it's not that it couldn't have worked. It could have worked, but it would take just a tremendous amount of consciousness on one or both of your parts, you know. You guys have to be super aware, you know, that when you get upset with each other, not to fight and to realize that whatever's coming up for you is your stuff and not their stuff, instead of blaming each other. You follow
mm-hmm.
me? And that most people can't pull that off, okay? It's just really...
Well, I learned to do a lot of that through this relationship. I started listening to Eckhart Tolle, and, you know, I mean,
it
opened my eyes a lot. It was a transformational, but it just nearly killed me emotionally.
Well, see, you have your birthday, you're a King of Diamonds, but you're also a Six of Diamonds. And Six of Diamonds has big abandonment fears.
Yeah. That's right.
You know? So, you know, but see, the problem is you're this king, right? So you don't show your vulnerability very much. You just want to get, become very king-like when you get upset, see?
Right.
It's like off with their head kind of a thing. So you're like me. I'm a Queen of Diamonds, and I'm also have a very abandonment fears. But I don't want to appear weak, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because the kings
mm-hmm.
and queens and jacks all have a lot of pride, so we don't want to appear weak. So instead, it's okay for us to get mad, but not okay for us to be vulnerable and afraid, even though we are.
Totally,
It's a cosmic joke.
And then what is his name card then for his birthday? He's a what?
He's a Ten of Diamonds and an Eight of Spades. Now, he doesn't have the abandonment thing going. That's not his issue.
No.
But his issue is that he's used to dominating other people.
Yeah.
He's got a dominating thing going on. And that's going to make it really hard for anybody to be with him. You know, having to have his own way all the time and being really strong with people. It's just not going to work all the time. But he has to work that out for himself. You know, that's got to be something that he learns and figures out on his own. That makes sense?
It totally does. So it was a transformational relationship in that I started looking at myself a lot. I mean, it transformed my whole life.
Yeah, this could be like I was saying earlier in the show, is that a relationship is the number one opportunity, the most powerful opportunity for us to really have a transformation in our life. If we can use it for that. But, you know, he may not be ready to use a relationship for that. So you might feel like you're doing
it. He feels free.
You might feel like you're just doing it all by yourself, you know.
Yeah, it's been over 2 years now.
Well, I'm sure you'll never forget each other because it was so memorable. Your experience,
it really was.
You know?
Well, we remembered through lifetimes, right?
Yeah, you did. I mean, in some ways you probably did fulfill a past life yearning to be together, and that was good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's.
So have
not
I learned
like,
enough to have a successful partnership now? Is that in my card?
Well, let's see here. Yeah, you actually, I think before your birthday, you're going to have a couple of guys that you're going to be associating with, perhaps dating. You won't be making up your mind until probably right around your birthday. It looks like you're going to end up. It looks like you're going to end up though with somebody by your birthday.
Well, that's a nice birthday present.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a great birthday present.
That's a really great. It's been a long.
You have to decide. You know, when you're ready to. To try again because, you know, you got your feelings hurt a lot in this last one. So there's no hurry here.
Okay. No.
But if you're ready, there's going to be opportunities between now and your birthday. Even right now, you have a very good influence for meeting people. Right now, even though this is not the best period of the year for you, you have very good influences for being social and meeting people. So if I were you, I'd be getting out there. Like attending.
Yeah, I've been isolating a lot with licking my wounds, but I guess I better get out of here, huh?
Well, today is the day that starts your new period. Okay, it starts today.
No kidding?
I'm not kidding. And you have an Eight of Hearts, which means popularity and being around crowds and groups and having fun. So now's the time to go out and socialize and start meeting people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a try. Thank you
much. You're very welcome. Great talking to you, Jeannie. Have a great evening.
Great talking to you.
All right.
I'll keep listening to your music. I might order one of those CDs. Are they on your webpage?
Yeah, there's a link on the front page if you scroll down a little bit where you can go. And basically, I just ask people to send me a check.
Okay.
And my address is there. Or you can just call me if you want during the day. I can take a credit card over the phone and send it to you that way, too.
I'll do that. I'll do that tomorrow.
All right, Jeannie. Great talking to you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to take our break now and come back. We have all lines open. If you'd like to call in now and ask a question, this will be a great time to call. You can be the first one after the break. On this break, we're going to play the song Om Namah Shivaya. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. Be right back. Welcome back, everybody. That was Om Namah Shivaya off my CD, Bhakti Rock. Hope you enjoyed that one as well. We have one line full and two lines open, folks. This is a time to call if you'd like. And we have Lisa, born June 14th, 1962, from Canada. Are you there, Lisa?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight, Lisa?
I'm fine, and you?
Good. And how is life for a three of diamonds?
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It is a huge challenge.
You heard me talking earlier about, did you hear me talk about three of diamonds earlier? Because today's actually the same card as your card.
I did, and that's what actually prompted me to call, because I've known for a while that I'm a three of diamonds, and everything I've read about it has been very challenging. And it seems to come in spades, so to speak.
Yeah.
The issue I guess I'm having is being able to focus on any one thing. It seems to be that there's so many interests that I can't seem to grasp onto one thing to succeed at anything. There's always a lot of fingers and pots, but nothing's ever getting accomplished. Is that typical of three of diamonds, or is that just me?
No, that's typical. That's basically the challenge with anybody who has a lot of three energy. I have the same thing. I remember when I was young, I was at a state fair, and I took a handwriting analysis, and they said, you start twice as many things as you finish. And I took that to heart, you know. And what I've discovered a little trick, though, that works for me, and it might work for you. And since you're my karma card that I owe something to, I'll share this with you. It's good to have a lot of things to do that all contribute to one common goal. Does that make sense?
It does, actually.
So, like, then you can have the variety that you want. So you can move, for example, I write, you know, I write books, and I write articles. But I couldn't do that all the time. It would be too much for me to do that all the time. Just like it would be for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to switch off and do other things, like software programming and teach classes. But they all contribute to a common goal, which is, you know, this business that I have using the cards and so forth. So it affords me enough variety that I don't get that feeling like, you know, I'm doing too much of the same thing. That makes sense?
It does make a lot of sense. I happen to practice energy medicine, and I also have been interested in your destiny cards for quite some time when I accidentally come across your book in 2000, and everything was so true as I laid out the cards for that particular year that I couldn't ignore it. And things in the metaphysical, things in the energy medicine line, those things seem to all be running together, but it's everything seems, and here comes the money issue, everything seems to cost money, and the guilt of spending the money and wanting to do it but not wanting to deprive the house when there's only a limited supply at this point, knowing that if I actually spend the money and if I can get my act together, the other stuff will bring in money, but I can't seem to ever get that, all those ducks in a row.
Well, the money thing is actually a separate issue, even though it's related to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate thing and needs to be looked at as a separate project for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, the money thing is something that all diamonds have to face at some point in our life. But your card, the three of diamonds, and my card, the queen of diamonds, is even more intense for us. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's like it took me a long time. I didn't know that I had a poverty issue in my life for a long time. It just dawned on me one year when things got really bad. All of a sudden it dawned on me that maybe I have like a problem with the way I'm looking at life. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It all sort of came crashing down on me all at one time. And that was like a huge breakthrough for me because it got me started working on myself as it relates to money. I realized I had a poverty mentality, and that was the real problem. It wasn't the external situation. It was me. It was inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take this on like a project, like you're going to heal your poverty thing around money, okay?
Yep.
And work on that until you get that handled. Because, see, once you handle that, it won't matter what you do. Anything you do will be successful. People will flock to you. They'll just come to you without you even trying. And you won't have to even try. Because you will be somebody for whom money can show up. You'll be the kind of person that money is attracted to once you understand how the laws of money work and begin putting that into practice.
Okay.
Now, I've written a book about this called The Big Money Book. You can order it on my website. It's everything that I learned that worked about prosperity. A lot of books out there, a lot of that stuff they tell you doesn't work.
Okay.
Like affirmations do not work. For example,
mm-hmm.
You can sit there and affirm all day, I have money, I have money, and you're not going to have money.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to work.
That.
Yeah, I tried it too. I tried the same thing. It didn't work. I was like, what's wrong with these books?
Yeah.
So everything that does work is in my book, and it changed. And for me, I had a breakthrough, and it's over for me. I'll never have a money problem the rest of my life.
Excellent.
And it's not an external change. It's an internal change.
Okay.
It's an internal change. And that's what you need. Because right now, it's holding you back. Everything you want to do, the money thing comes up, and it creates this big block for you, and I'm sorry, but that's what you have to deal with because that's what you got going right now, and you can change that.
Yeah, it's more of a guilt thing. It's almost like it's weighing on as a guilt rather than, I think I got over the poverty thing, but it's still part and parcel of it, I guess.
Well, I mean, they're connected. Whatever it is, it keeps you from receiving. Do you understand? You have a problem letting stuff come to you.
Yeah.
See? And that's considered. See, money is energy. It has to flow both ways, giving and receiving.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm blocked on either side, I won't have money. If I can't receive or if I can't give, either way, it's going to block the money flow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would recommend you get my book or get other books that I recommend. There's other books, too, that I recommend in my book.
Okay.
But you need to get a practice going with this so that you get this handled so that the rest of your life can begin and become as magnificent as you'd like it to be.
Well, I would like it to be very magnificent.
Yeah.
And
it is
a challenge, to say the least. But
yeah.
If I can get the money issue in hand, then the other stuff will start to fall into place because it seems like I'm spinning in circles or, you know, paddling under the water there just as fast as I can and going nowhere.
Just keeping your head above water all the time. That's what you're up to, you know?
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You don't really have any choice because with the mindset that you're operating out of, that's all you can hope for. That's the best you can pull off, you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal. It's not like there's something wrong with you. It's just what happens from that mindset.
Yeah. Well, I've come to realize that it's the cards I've been dealt, and that's what I have to deal with.
Yeah, but see, you can change. Money is the easiest thing to transform of all the things. I mean, we can't even begin to work on relationship until the money thing's handled. You can't even start on relationship stuff until the money thing's handled.
And the relationship thing seems to be very good in my instance. I have husband is October 21st. He's a Ace of clubs and 10 of spades, and I don't know what it is about our relationship, but it's very intense and it's very good.
You guys are really compatible. So I'm really happy for you that you have that. You're blessed by that. Now get your money thing together so you can have a better life. That's my
suggestion. But it's that money thing is always the issue, right?
Yeah, and you can change this. It doesn't have to be. It's not a life sentence.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you have to, there is actually a science to money. Once you understand the science of it, it's very easy to practice it, and then a change is inevitable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for calling tonight and sharing, Lisa. I appreciate your openness.
Well, thank you. I enjoy reading your books. And
and you definitely should be a reader. You should definitely take up the cards as part of as one of your money-making ventures. You're really good at it, and you'll make a lot of money at it.
Well, it's the interpretation I'm finding a struggle with. I understand the whole concept. I really enjoy working with the cards, but when it comes to actually sitting down and doing interpretations, it seems I get a little bit, but no further. It's probably just a little bit more practice involved, I guess.
Well, everybody has trouble with that in the beginning. Because it's just part of the flow. It's part of what you have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, like, on my website, we have products that teach you from the ground up. And the first products that we recommend to people is all about the interpretation. Like, we have the Intermediate Video CD Workshop, and that is all focused on how to interpret the cards better. That's the thing that everybody faces after they first get the books and first get into it.
Well, it's been about 2 months now, and I had just purchased those, so I am just going through that stuff now.
Oh, good. Well, all your answers are there then. You'll have no problem once you read that.
Yeah.
Listen, watch that.
Okay.
All right. Well, Lisa, keep in touch and call in again sometime, okay? Let us know how you're doing.
I will. And do you do any workshops at all in Canada or the BC area?
You know, I don't really teach much at all anymore. And when I do, it's always here in California. I don't travel. That could happen, though, in the future, but, you know, basically everything I teach is on CD now, so you can just buy the CDs and not have to. I won't have to travel, and you won't have to travel.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
Save money that way. Okay, well, thank you for your time.
All right, have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our next caller is from Atlanta. I guess the name is J.D. Are you there, J.D.?
I am.
And J.D., are you born September 12th, what, 1981 or what?
1981, yes.
Okay, good. So what's on your mind this evening? What would you like to find out?
Well, first let me be honest. I am, I don't know if you can tell by my tone, I am slightly skeptic. but I'm an open-minded skeptic.
An open-minded skeptic.
My mother is a fan of your show and your books, and we were sitting on the back porch here and just kind of talking, and she was listening to your show, and so she called, and here I am. So,
I see. Okay.
She suggested that I give you a call and ask about my love life. I am very recently divorced. I got divorced in January of this year, and we split up, I guess, in October of last year. We have been together for 7 years, married for 2 of those 7. And it has been really rough for me.
I can tell. Well, I'll just tell you what the cards are saying about this past year, okay?
Okay.
You actually needed to be out of that relationship, but you may not have felt like you needed to be out of that relationship. You know, like you might not think that it was the best thing, but the cards say that it was something that was necessary for you as much as for your wife. Like, it wasn't really good for you either, even though you think it was good. Do you understand? Does that make some sense, what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's like the change that occurred in your life as a result of this was very painful, but it was also very beneficial, but you may not see that just yet. Okay? You may not see that just yet. What was your wife's birthday, by the way? Do you want to share that?
It was October 16th, 1980.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, October 16th. Yeah, you guys were really strongly connected, the two of you. You have a lot of what we call karmic connections. So this relationship with her was something that was destined for both of you to experience, but not necessarily to last forever. And she was stronger than you in this relationship, JD. She was a stronger person in the relationship. That's why it hurt you more when she left than it hurt her. You know, not every relationship has this, but most marriage relationships have what we call a moon connection. And in the moon connection, one person is the sun and one person is the moon. And the sun person is the stronger of the two. And when they leave, it doesn't hurt them as much when the relationship breaks up. Okay?
Okay.
And you were the moon person in the relationship. You were the one that was devastated by it more than her.
That was definitely the moon. Okay. Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting that you picked her because now I've had lots of relationships and I've been where I've been the moon person and where I've been the sun person. And whenever I'm with a woman that I'm the moon card to, like you were with your ex-wife, they're always leading the show and directing me, and a part of me likes it and another part of me doesn't like it because in a way it tends to demasculate the man. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It tends to take away our masculinity because it's our natural role to be protector, provider.
Sure.
So you might want to consider that when you go for another relationship. You might want to consider, like, have your mom look at the cards with you, too. Because you will have other relationships, by the way. I see some in your future, actually. Or a relationship in your future. You're a very marriageable person, by the way. I mean, you're a person that can get married. We have like what we call marriageability. And certain cards are just not marriageable at all. Like they really should never get married. But you are. You could get married. And that's a rare thing for men. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So, you know, I hate to be plugging my show again, but I mean my website, but we have a new website called lovecardsdating.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot more women on there than men, and you should go there and sign up. It's free for a month. I bet you'll meet somebody right away if you're interested, if you're open and interested.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm quite there yet.
The cards don't show you having a new person in your life until, like, basically right after the new year.
Okay.
I'm not saying you can't. You might have a date or two before then. You might meet some people and go out on some dates before then, but that's when I see something significant showing up for you.
Okay.
Any other questions, JD?
I guess that's it. I guess, you know, I mean, that is helpful.
Yeah, I mean,
I am the marrying type as well.
You are, and that's a rare commodity, JD. But the thing of it is, the way you did that last relationship, that marriage was not healthy for you. I can tell by the cards; it just wasn't healthy for you. There was something about it that wasn't really working for you. I don't know if you know what that was yet. It's important that you think about that because if you don't know, you might end up doing the same thing all over again with somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, see if you can get in touch with like, well, what was going on for you and because it really, even as much as you didn't want to see it end, I don't think it was all that great for you.
Yeah.
And it's important for you to see that. So you can move on next time and have a relationship that is really good for you.
Sure.
All right?
Are there any cards in particular that I should be on the lookout for? Any cards?
Well, you know, there's a lot of wonderful cards that you're really compatible with. And if you go on this Love Cards Dating, we have it set up so that it'll actually tell you which birthdays of the year you have the best marriage with.
Cool.
It will. It'll give you 10 birthdays. I guarantee it. And it's free for a month. So why don't you join up? It starts on Thursday, this Thursday, the day before your birthday. So give yourself a birthday present and join up with our site and see what you find out about yourself. There's a lot of information there. You'll really enjoy it.
Okay. I may well do that.
All right, J.D.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being my guest tonight. And I know you're a skeptic, but we like you anyway, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Take care, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, and, you know, for all you listening tonight, if you know any men, and the women too, of course, but there are men on the site for sure, but we could always use more because there's, you know, my clientele is mostly women. That's just the way it is. They're more interested in metaphysics, more open-minded, and so forth. So, but we want to spread the word and get a lot more guys on the site, make it more fun. Usually, though, people tell me if you have girls there, the guys will show up. So I think we definitely have the girls there. Okay, we have another caller who just had a birthday, Diana from Portland on line two. And we have two lines open. So now is the time to call if you're thinking of calling. So are you there, Diana?
I am.
Have we spoken before?
About 8 or 9 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And you are September 6, 1956?
59.
59. Okay, mm-hmm. I wrote it down wrong. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Did you have a good birthday?
Yeah, I did. I had a pretty good birthday. Yeah.
Good.
So I have a kind of general question about the cards and then a personal question as well.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear them.
Well, my general question is... with looking at the cards, is it as important to look at both of your cards for the year spread?
Yes.
Because yes. I feel like I'm more one card than the other.
Well, you're not, though. You might be acting out of one of them more than the other.
Okay.
But you are both.
Well, no, I definitely know I'm both. Yeah.
Yeah. So, see, the cards in one spread, like the cards in your Five of Diamonds spread, will be the cards mm-hmm. for that part of your personality, what's happening to that part of you. And the cards in your Queen of Spades spread will be the cards, they're talking about what's going on to that part of you. Do you understand?
Okay.
And you need to know what those two parts are, and you seem to be in touch with that. So that's perfect.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay. I'm not sure if I'm 100% in touch, but I have some clue about it, yeah. So...
Well, you know, the Queen of Spades is not restless. That's the one place to start right there.
Right.
Queen of Spades is not restless, but Five of Diamonds is. And
right.
Queen of Spades is very work-oriented, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I think you know enough to make some delineation from those two.
That's true. Okay, yeah, that much is definitely true. I would say my profession and my mothering and my spiritual practice are all queen
mm-hmm.
qualities. And the fact
yes.
that I
and,
can't
and your
figure
demands,
out what
was, and your sorry. Demands for respect, that's queen stuff too.
Right.
You need for respect and for, you know, other people to think well of you. That's typical of all queens.
Okay.
So what's your personal question?
My personal question is that the past year has been really difficult, big transitions. I felt like I kind of hit, not bottom, but near the bottom. Things feel like they're looking up right now.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a whole different year this year.
Is it?
Yep, a whole different year.
I mean, I looked at the cards, but I don't really know how to interpret them, so I just thought maybe you could give me a clue.
Well, this is a big love year for you.
Yay.
Love and sex.
Love and sex, oh my God.
I love giving people good news.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You have a King of Hearts long range. You know, that's for a woman, that's a lover.
It is, huh?
And you have an Eight of Hearts environment, so all you have to do is just get out there and be available. You need to look for social situations, look for groups of people getting together, and you show up there and just watch what happens.
Okay.
You know, don't have any heavy expectations on any one relationship just yet, but be open to learning about love through your own experiences.
Okay.
And see what happens. And, you know, I mean, you have lots of really powerful cards this year. You're going to make some money right now in your first period. You're going to make some quick money. And I see other good things coming later in the year also. So
career-wise, how does it look? Pretty good?
It looks good if you're going to reach a broader audience with what you're doing.
Okay.
I
just started working with somebody who's a king of clubs. How's that going to be?
Well, that card is Uranus to you and Saturn to you. Okay. What's his birthday?
December 5th, 1959.
Okay. So he's also a two of spades.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from your point of view, he'll be a little erratic. You should expect that because that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be him doing it intentionally, though.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah, and you got to also remember that the King of Clubs is one of your Saturn cards. So there's your teacher and critic. It can be okay if you look to him as a teacher, in a teacher role. It can be good.
But sometimes you don't like that.
So that's what he is to you, and that's the way it's going to be. You can be friends and all that, too. I don't know if you guys would actually hook up romantically.
No. Definitely would not hook up. He's gay.
I don't think so. Oh, I see. Okay, well,
yeah.
Solves that problem.
Yeah, that's easy. That makes it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's okay. I mean, you could do better. Let's just say that. Okay.
Okay.
Those aren't the best connections for business. All right? There's better connections.
Okay.
So I just want to mention that to you in case, some other situation opens up for you.
Okay.
All right?
It's
not that you can't... You can make it work. No, there's no doubt about that.
It's sort of a partnership, and it's sort of he may be getting me into something else that he's involved in, kind of thing.
Sure.
It's like
okay.
That.
Well, you know, if he's leading you somewhere and he's going to be sort of your mentor, that's a good role for his.
That
card.
Actually is the role. Yeah.
Okay, then that would be fine.
Okay.
Just don't expect him to be particularly nice about it, because he may not be able to be nice about it for you.
Okay.
The way your energies line up together.
I see. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we've actually known each other for many years, and we've always had friction. And this is the first time we've worked together.
Well, why?
But actually, we're working together much better than we ever had in a friendship.
You got to see how funny that sounds from my end.
I can imagine. Yeah, I mean, there was.
You're saying we always had friction together, and now we're working together. It's like,
well,
whose idea was that?
the point is that I got a little bit desperate, so.
I see.
I needed to hook up with somebody. I'm a doctor. He's a doctor, and I needed some help.
Okay.
So he just so happened that his practice is very busy and he needed some help. So
I see. As long as you're both clear about what you're doing and why.
Yeah.
It's fine. But I don't think this is gonna be something that's gonna be necessarily good for you long term.
I see. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
For a particularly long time.
But you do see the financial situation.
Financial situation is going to be fine. Just get into your work and do good at your work, and everything will take care of itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah, no, it is good. There's a lot of good things happening this year. It's not going to be like last year at all. you can let go of that. That year is behind you now.
Okay.
That wasn't like a pattern for the rest of your life or anything. Okay.
Let's hope not. I was robbed twice. I mean, don't ask.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, I was robbed twice. My ex-husband was being investigated by the police. I had to leave town. I mean, it was just a disaster, but...
Well, I'm glad you made it through.
I made it through, and so I'm glad to hear that this coming year is going to be better. And
it's not coming anymore. It's already here.
Well, actually, you know, it's better just because I'm working now, so that part's really good, so...
Yeah, well... Yeah, you can already see that things have already improved, and they're going to continue to improve.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for calling,
Thank
Diana.
Thank you so much.
Have a great rest of your night.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, and with that, we're going to take a short break. Lines are open if you'd like to call in and ask a question tonight. Feel free to. On this break, we're going to listen to Rama Rama, the latest and newest song off my CD, Bhakti Rock. We'll be right back after Rama Rama.
Come
Welcome back, everybody. That was my song, Rama, Rama. You might notice if you listen to Bhakti Rock, there's quite a few songs on there about Ram. And who is this Ram character? Well, Ram is one of the incarnations of the god, Hindu god Vishnu. And Vishnu apparently incarnates at the end of every grand age. For example, the last time he incarnated, which was about 4,000 years ago, he came down as Lord Krishna. But the one before that, the age before that, he came down as Ram. And he always performs a duty of ridding the world of its encumbrance of demons, demonic beings. And there's always a great war that's fought where a lot of evil beings get killed, basically cleansed from the earth. And then the cycle starts over again. That was Ram, and he's also considered the god that rolls the heart chakra. So when you chant the sound of Ram, the heart automatically opens up. So I hope you enjoyed that. Well, we haven't had any other calls, so we're going to end our show a little early tonight. And I want to thank everybody who called in tonight. It was really great, a lot of fun. The website is starting again on Thursday, Love Cards Dating. I am probably not going to be here next week because I'm traveling to, actually I can guarantee I'm not going to be here next week. I'm traveling for a week. I'm going to be away. So we'll be having a recorded show next week and possibly the week after that. We'll announce it one way or the other. So this is Robert Camp saying good night and listen. Hope you enjoy listening to this last chant we're going to play, which is called the Gayatri Mantra. It's one of the most powerful and soothing on our entire CD. I hope you enjoy it. And I look forward to seeing you in either 1 or 2 weeks from now. Good night and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Tatsavitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yo-na-prachodaya Om Bhurguva Svaha Tatsavitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo yo na prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo yo na prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Vituravariyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha Tat Savitravariyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Deyo Yona Prachodayam.